God bless you, Brett.
Thank you very much. Well, I've been on a bit of a tour. I'm partnering with Vision Christian Radio, which is sort of a, it's not a competition with Sunshine FM, but they have a network of about 700 church radio stations across Australia. So I rang them up because it's our 25th anniversary of Focus on the Family in Australia. So I said, hey, what about if we did some sort of partnership? And I said, maybe we could do 10, maybe 15 speaking engagements across the whole year. And they said, that's great. Well, it's up to 35 now and counting. So I arrived Friday week and landed in the airport, stayed there for an hour, and then flew to Geraldton. And then as soon as I got to Geraldton, I went to the hotel, had a shower, got dressed, and then went to a school, did a parenting seminar. Then I came the next day, did three sessions in the morning at a church there. Then the next day, went spoke at the church, and then they said, oh, you're a kids pastor, so why can you speak to the kids and their parents after the service? So I did that. Then I flew back on Monday, and then I drove to Katanning, and then I went from Katanning to Albany, not Albany, I've been told. Oh, look out. I went to Albany, and then I drove from Albany to Bunbury, and then I spoke at Bunbury, and then I went from Bunbury to Margaret River, and I had a day off yesterday, and now I am here today. That wasn't like that, but I have to say, in the back of my mind, I've got something else that I'd appreciate your prayers, and I'm going to pray, and I appreciate you to pray with me, is that I got that one of those calls this morning that you don't want to get. It was at 3:30 this morning, my phone vibrated, and I thought, oh, someone must have accidentally pushed it. It was my wife. And then I'm saying, are you awake? Are you all right? As you would. And then about 15 minutes later, I get my son ringing me up and says, Mum's collapsed on the floor and she's got severe chest pain and severe back pain and the ambulance is on its way. You don't like to get that at 3:30 in the morning. Anyway, so then, and then because correspondence is not always that great, and the ambulance arrived, and so she's been taken to the hospital. They've dosed her up with medication. I did find out, I said, do you want me to come home now? And I was just about to give Pastor David to say, I may be going. But then she said, no, you're there. Real life are expecting you. Go and preach. So I am here to preach, but I would appreciate your prayers.
Why don't we pray now?
Appreciate that.
Do you want to reach out your hand to Brett? And Father, we just pray for Brett and his family. We pray for his wife right now as she's in hospital, that Lord, you will raise her up. We pray, Lord, she will recover quickly, that she will be in good health. Pray your angels will fill that room. We pray the presence of Jesus will be strong. And Lord, we pray you'll lead and guide those doctors. We just pray for Brett. Shalom over him. Peace upon him as he brings the word of God to us today. So we give this whole situation to you, and we know right now, Lord, that you're moving and you're working in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. So that's just a little bonus for me, but bonus for my wife. But that just gives you a bit of a perspective. I've been away for 10 days, and I love my family, just like you love your family, and I want to share that love for all families, and that's what Focus on the Family is all about. So I'm doing this thing called Family in a Modern World Tour, and so Real Life is sort of part of that, and through partnership with Vision Radio. And we have about every day, there's about 3.5 million people hear us on the radio. So it's quite a significant reach. And you're never too sure who's going to be listening through the power of the medium. But you know, when you know that people hear you, but you don't know what it's doing. But then just 2 days ago when I was in Albany or Bunbury, I can't remember, they're all blurring each other, a guy comes up to me and goes, you saved my marriage. And I said, tell me more. And he goes, I was in my car, my bags were packed, and I was leaving my wife. And then I turn on the radio, and I've never heard Focus on the Family before, but it found me. And it said, you need to fight for your marriage. You need to fight for the commitment that you made. And nothing is impossible with God's help. So he got out of his car, grabbed his bag, went inside and says, I'm here, I'm committed, let's work on this. and restored his marriage, and now they've been happily married for 10 years now. Now or in total, but and I just thought how wonderful that is. Well, just a blessing. It was just a bonus out of the whole trip just to hear that. But then I also had an email from a station manager who someone rang up and was ready for the complaint, because sometimes people come and complain just because they can, and he wasn't churched, and he was unchurched person, and he was buckling up, ready for the thing. And he goes, I was listening to the radio last night, and it was all about marriage, about one couple who were really in division, and they were really in disunity, but how they navigated their marriage and restored it. And he says, this is the best radio he has ever heard of, and there should be more of it, because we need to have more strong families and more strong relationships. And as a result of that, he ended up sponsoring an advert on the radio station, a Christian radio station. He's unchurched, and I thought, how cool is that? Because that's what we're all about, strengthening relationships and strengthening families. And so we do that in a variety of ways. Obviously, the radio is one. And I just found out on Friday, I did a TV commercial some years ago called Back to the Table. Well, I've done a new TV commercial, and about it's never too early to talk to your kids at an age-appropriate level about the real issues before society does. And we've got permission from Prime 7, and it's going to go on every regional television station across Australia. You may not see it in Perth, but every other place is going to see it, because I've just produced a resource about how to talk to your kids about sex, pornography, puberty, and LGBT. And that's going to be released in about the next week. And so we do a variety of things like that, and we're just trying to, and I'm just about to produce another one that's a resource about how to talk to your, how to be more confident in talking about mental health and suicidal thoughts and ideation, because we all need to have more confidence to know how to deal with that, because it was foreign some years ago, but now one in four people that you will know, one in four or five, will have some sort of mental health issue. So we need to have so much more confidence and a narrative to know how to do that. And that's all available for free on our website. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to be notified of those things and you'd like to receive a weekly tip on our website or something like that, I can give you a weekly tip. It'll arrive in your inbox. A few people have already done this in the past since I've come here, but if you haven't had a opportunity just to get a weekly tip that always takes a minute to read, because everyone's attention span is the length of a gnat, so I just make everything a minute. Our YouTube channel is always 1 minute, because people's attention span is a long as a gnat, but then every now and then we might have an article that goes for 3 minutes, so that's another thing. So if you would like to receive that, no obligation whatsoever, you can just put your name and your details and pass it to the next person. Is that okay? Just pass that around. So that's just what we're doing. So as I said, we're trying to provide as many resources as possible, and I'm very, very excited. My big, hairy, audacious goal for this year, if I get a chance, two of them actually, I'm going to do one about early parenting, talking about early parenting. I've partnered up with Mainly Music and MOPS, and they're really excited to do that, and I'm actually going to create a marriage mentoring tool, because I actually think more people need to be guided on how to do marriage in a much more God-honoring way. So that's a little bit about that. But my greatest ministry are my boys and my wife. I've been married for 28 years and we're still going, but that photo was taken 20 years ago. I've had a very busy the last 2 months, because I turned 50 at Christmas time, and my boys wanted to give me a very special gift, they know that I'm not very materialistic, so they wanted to do something very, very special. So they put their heads together, and 6 months in the making, I'm not making this up, they reenacted my favorite movie, which is The Three Amigos. Every camera angle, every line, every actor, they play every part. Hundreds and hundreds of editing and all the sound effects, the whole thing. And so I thought I'd give you a little bit of a picture of the Three Amigos. And so I love their horses, and they got the uniforms, and it's just, I've never laughed and cried at the same time. It was just hilarious, and just truly, truly special. But the reason why I'm saying that I got turned 50 and had the busyness, because I also had surgery on my knee 8 weeks ago, an arthroscopy surgery, so that healed. But the best of all is, and I think I said last time that my son was getting married, and so he got married. And this is my son to his beautiful bride. And yes, I arranged their marriage when they were 16 and 12. And I did. I said to her mother when she was 15 or so, I said, "Do you believe in arranged marriages?" And she said, "If it's one of your sons, yes." Fast forward 11 years, they found each other and they met and fell in love last year because it was a different site, different campus, and they got married. And so it's truly, truly special. And so it's been a busy time, but I'm also grieving. There is that loss, change of dynamics. And I have great empathy for people whose, you know, people leave the nest, they're little people, and then it still grieves us. And every now and then it catches me. And even on the wedding, I was right about my wife being so sad. She was happy and of all. I was the melancholic one. I was a mess. Everyone's coming out, "Are you all right?" And you're like, "I'm all right. I'm fine. Yeah. But what I'd like to do, I spoke to Pastor David on, I think it was Wednesday, something like that. And he says, "Oh, you're still coming?" I said, "Yes," because when we booked, he was in Pakistan or something. So he wasn't too sure whether we communicated, whether it was confirmed. I said, "Yes, well, I'm still coming." And I said, "What would you like me to speak on?" And he said, "Just encouragement for families." So while I've been on the road, it's very hard to prepare different things, but I thought I'd prepared something about how to have a close-knit family. But I went to the Word of God to find out some close-knit families. There are none. If you're doing something on leadership, you find, you know, Bible characters, and you can get, you know, really good encouragement on how good leadership, and Moses and Joshua and all those, you can get some really great inspiration. You look for great marriages, there are none. You look for great families, there are none. So I gave you a little bit of synopsis. Here's a little bit of a synopsis of dysfunctional families in the Bible, all right? Let's just go through a little bit like that. So the first one is the first family, all right? Adam and Eve disobeyed God straight away, and then they didn't parent well, and their kids were fought, and then one killed. Not a great start, all right? Abraham's family. God promised him he was going to have this, you know, you're going to have an elderly, in their old age, they're going to have children, but he couldn't wait. He had to go and meet the maidservant, had sex with her so he could actually have a baby, and everything was great. Not. And then the happy family, then they had to kick out that family, and that's not a great start either. This is Abraham. Not a good. Okay, Isaac. He lied to his father, swindled it out of his brother. Then he ended up getting tricked himself by his uncle and had to marry the ugly sister first. No one put your hand up if you've married an ugly sister, by the way. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying. Eventually he got the golden girl. But again, not a great example of a functional family. All right, let's go for some other. I mean, there's a whole stack. I could have kept on going for a long time. So here's another one. Jacob's family. Well, favorites aren't good in families. But Jacob showed favorite to Joseph and gave him a special coat, which really encouraged his brothers. They loved it. They said, "We want you to have that type. You can, Dad, you love on him as much as you like. You know, give him everything." That's what they wanted. That's what they said. Not. Then they kind of sort of said, "Why don't we kill him?" A good, healthy family. They put him in only one of them had the realization that this is not really a good idea. So then they sold him to slavery, and then they lied to their father. Not a good thing to do, because lying is bad. All right? Lying is bad. It's wrong. All right? And then what happens? All right. King David, a man after God's own heart, looked at a girl across the way, liked her, got her pregnant, and then decided to murder her husband. And that's not good. Seriously, that's not good. And then, I'm not telling you, then, I mean, her son, his sons all have different things. The son wanted to take him off the throne. His other son had an affair. Well, you get my drift, all right? And then the wisest person in the world, Solomon, he had hundreds of wives. Enough said. And then let's go to the, you know, what you'd think would be an ideal family. Has anyone lost their kids in a shopping center? I've lost my kids in a shopping center, but I knew straight away that I lost my kids. It took a whole day for Jesus' parents to say, "Have you got him? Have you got him? I thought you had him." It took a whole 24 hours before they realized that he was missing. So does anyone feel a little bit more encouraged that their family is not as bad as someone like that? All right. Dysfunctional families are everywhere. Let's fast forward to the 21st century. Some bad things happened there. Some bad things are happening today. When you look at ice and drugs and alcohol, you're looking at the marriage breakdowns. We look at mental health, as I mentioned before. We look at suicide, and we look at the highly sexualized world that we live in. And I can do a whole message on that in itself. Stress, we have a whole generation called the snowflake generation, which means they've got very low resilience and easily offended at the touch of a word. You have to use gender neutral pronouns. You can't use the word he or she. You have to use the word Z, which I don't know what that means, but anyway. And then we have this whole lot of areas that are going on there. So there's a lot to work on. And that's what I think, that's what I do. I want to talk about healthy families. People don't know how to have a healthy family because they were never really, sometimes honestly, never really modeled healthy families. And so the cycle perpetuates. But I actually think the body of Christ, people with a faith, should have the best families and should have the best marriages. But I'm not naive to know and think that people in this church and other churches around have got some challenges in their marriages and in their families. And as that was beautifully prayed for, all these type of things, breakthroughs. And hopefully what I'm going to give you sort of five tips, hopefully using the Word of God to unpack what I believe, and it's by no means exhaustive, but it maybe just encourage you in the way that you're doing your family and your relationships. And may God just bless this message in Jesus' name. Because in the beginning, when God created man, he said it was very good. And that was the last time he said it was very good. And we've just seen throughout the scriptures, it hasn't been very good ever since. But the Bible has got a lot of tools on how we can do and live our lives in a very God-honoring way. And the world or society is attracted to that. You may not have all the answers, but you earn the right to speak into people's lives when you have hope. And they know that you've gone through struggles, you're vulnerable, you share your ups and downs. There's something about you. And it was amazing how many opportunities we can have to do that. I was at a supermarket, I was at a food court, I should say, and I was going there to prepare a message, and I turned my computer on, and I had a flat battery. And I think it was a guided appointment, because the woman next to me was on the phone, and I always go to a food court, and I said, "Lord, give me something that I can use for a message. Anything, anything. Just give it to me." And I went there, and this woman was on the phone. She was obviously upset. And I just said, "Are you okay?" And she said the old classic, "I'm fine," which means I'm freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. I said, "Well, you don't look fine." I said, "I'm a really good listener." And so for the next 20 minutes, she downloaded everything wrong in the universe that was going on. And I said at the end, I said, "I'm a person of faith. Can I pray for you?" And she goes, "Well, it can't hurt." I said, "Absolutely, it can't hurt. People are hurting, people are grieving, people are going through hard times. And we are his ambassadors, representatives. And I just think, you know, to do that, we have to get our home base really humming well. So for the next 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to just download five quick tips using the Word of God to be able to do that. So secrets to a close-knit family. The first one is, and by no means exhausted, is it appreciate one another. Just appreciating one another. When was the last time you thanked your wife When was the last time you thanked your husband? When was the last time you thanked your kids? When was the last time you thanked your parents? Just that alone. If I actually ask that and you're thinking, it's probably been a little bit too long. But if you said, actually, it was this morning or it was last night, you're on the right track. Because the scriptures actually say, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. You can't say, oh, I said it once and that's enough. It's constantly. Words have power. Words have meaning. We use our words to tear people down, or we can use our words to build people up. And the scriptures are saying, at all possible, encourage one another and build each other up in your families. You know, we need to appreciate. Don't take each other for granted. A lot of people have a language of love. My primary language of love is words of affirmation, words of encouragement. I love it. My wife knows that. And she would build me up, encourage me. It means that when she's done that, she's actually earned the right to also correct me. Not very often, but occasionally. But appreciation is something that we can often take for granted. Even at the workplace, we should appreciate one another. When was the last time you thanked your pastors? It can be a very lonely job. It can be a very taxing job just to show appreciation, just with words. It makes a big difference in the health and well-being of your marriage, in your role as a parent. It's certainly with your relationship with your kids and your kids with you. And then the extended families, it's just showing appreciation. It should become a natural habit that we do, just to thank people. It's amazing you do that even in the supermarket. And you just say, oh, thank you so very much. The people go, oh, just makes their job feel a little bit better about themselves. Just to show appreciation, just to thank them. Sometimes it's just, we can go through life and never really show appreciation. We might think it, but we don't actually verbalize it. A gift like what we saw tonight, this morning, you know, that gift, just showing a small token of appreciation can make all the difference. A card, a note. You know, just saying, every time I go and stay in someone's home, they sometimes bill at me. It saves me on having to pay for hotel fees and things like that. I'm a Scrooge. I'm a fiscally minded. I believe that God has given me an opportunity to use the money that's been donated towards Focus on the Family, and I'm going to be as miserly as possibly I can. So I go and stay at people's homes, and all I simply do is I buy them a bottle of soap, the thank you soap, and I just leave it on the bed. That's all I do. Just something, because I always like to give them a gift, and they always say, don't give me anything, which is fine, but they want just a, so I left this morning, I was staying with someone in Perth, and I left her some thank you cream. Well, she was, it's like I gave her the sun, moon, and stars. It was just, she goes, oh, I love cream. Just made her, I mean, it wasn't anything from me. It cost me $7 or something. It just showed appreciation. I think we should do that. And just those little things in your household, don't take your wife for granted. What she does for you, what she does for the family, don't take it for granted. Your husband shouldn't be taken for granted. So very important. So that's the first tip. The second tip is just spending a lot of time together. Language of love, often when you ask a child, what is their language of love? It's spelt T-I-M-E. You can't give enough. You can't just give quality time and say, go, tell me. I've got 10 minutes. Come on, let's have some quality relationship here. This doesn't work. You need to give quantity time. You need to give time over time. My wife's language of love is time. You know, I've been away for 10 days, but I ring her 5 times a day. And I say to her, has anything happened? She says, well, not a lot in the last 2 hours since you rang last time. It's very lonely driving in the cars. You know, like, I went from, what was it, Albany to Bunbury, and I reckon I saw 3 cars in 4 hours. What's with that? So I kept on ringing her, and then the phone wasn't good anyway. But if I can't be there, I'm going to give her some, just that spending time. But also the time is, it's not just, and my favorite verse for spiritual foundations for families is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And then it says, and impress them upon your children. When you sit up at home, that's some time. When you walk along the road, that's some more time. When you lie down and when you get up, time. It's not saying, I've got half an hour during the day, I'm going to impress my children that little bit of time. It's actually all throughout the day. Spending time with one another, sometimes silently, is just as good as talking. Couch time, walking along the road, holding hands. Has anyone ever seen a mature age couple walking down the road and you just walk past and you just smile? I do it all the time. And if you, I can guarantee, if you do this, if you watch other people walking past the same couple, you watch them, they'll go, it just makes them smile because they've spent time together. Just that simple thing, time. But also part of that time is also having fun. I've been invited to go and speak at a homeschooling conference. And I wanted to talk to them about the big issues. And they go, our children don't do those things. I said, they do. No, our children are very, very good. I said, they might be very good, but they still have the big issues need to discuss. We had this sort of discussion. But then she said, what I think you need to talk to them about is having more fun. Because some of these mothers and fathers don't have fun with their kids. And I said, yeah, well, I can talk about that. I mean, you just look at my boys doing the Three Amigos. It's sort of fun. We do that often. We do things together and having good gut-wrenching laugh. There's a scripture in Proverbs. It says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, laughing is good for your body. I was a nurse for 15 years. I've seen the benefits of laughter. When a patient was sick or injured, I would try and make them laugh. One, to distract them from their pain or distract them from their sickness, but also knowing that it actually releases endorphins, which actually lowers their blood pressure, increases their immunity. It actually makes them better and they help with their physiotherapy and they actually do better and recover better, all because of humor. When was the last time you did something together as a family and had a good gut-wrenching laugh? We play a game called Boulder Dash in our household. It's a fun game. It's just hilarious. And you almost know who it's going to be. And it's someone who can actually make the most amount of waffle, which, believe it or not, it might be me. I thought this was a safe place here, but you know, no. Anyway, just having a good old laugh, and it's you turn technology off and just talk and communicate and just have fun together. Your kids want to be with you. You want to be with your kids, having a good laugh. But it's good for your health. It's good for your own self-worth. But so that time and fun should go hand in hand. So that's the second one. The third one is they talk with one another. I mean, communication is the key in every relationship. No matter what type of relationship, husband and wife, with their kids, you know, mum and dad, you know, communicate. But often, even in the church, we live very superficial lives. We live just sort of the small talk. So I've done some research on this, and it talks about that there's like four types of communication. So if I'm just going through these really quickly, and just for the sake of time, but often we just do the small talk. This is something like, so what did you do today? Nothing. You know, who'd you do it with? No one. What are you going to do tomorrow? Nothing. Good talk. That's it. You know, it's just very informal, small talk, very superficial. And that sometimes happens in the church. We don't often know what's going on in people's worlds because we stay superficial. Some marriages can be like that. Some relationships with their kids can stay just small talk. Sometimes we get to the administrative. I'm going to the shops. Would you like something? Administrative. I've got to go to the doctors today. Just letting them know. There's a, just sort of like the to-do list, if you like. And sometimes when we see someone, oh, what have you been doing? And then you give a whole grocery list of all the things you've done during the week. Just the to-do. I've achieved this. I've achieved that. And we sort of like, it's a badge of honor. Sometimes marriages and sometimes families can be like that. Sometimes in the church, we go to the second level. Sometimes, and this is where it almost just gets to this level, we might share that we're going through a hard time. I shared with you my wife who's got health issue just now. You know, like, that's a challenge that I'm dealing with. That's a challenge, and I've shared that, just being transparent, being vulnerable. But sometimes we don't do that with other people because we're not too sure how they respond. And maybe you might say, well, I got some financial problems, or my mother's sick, and how are we going to navigate that? We've got some financial difficulties, and we can get it. And some marriages go to just that level, level 3 and nothing further. Sometimes we talk with our kids, just at level 3, no further. We don't do it as often as I think we should do in the church. But if we want to have healthy families, we need to get to level 4, where it's the life-giving conversations, where I can sit down with someone and say, what's going on in your world? Look them in the eyes. I said, what is the hope and a dream that you have? What are some aspirations you have? What are some goals? How can I help you achieve your life-giving goals? When was the last time you had a conversation like that with someone close to you? When would you have a conversation with your kids? How can I help you achieve your God-given potential? How can I do that with you, my spouse, my partner for life? Am I helping you, or am I squashing your potential? It's a challenge. This may be some homework for you. What level are you in your communication? Because to have a close-knit family, you have to communicate. And I think we should be giving life, giving conversations, not superficial. Let's build each other up, but let's go a little bit deeper. And be more vulnerable, be more open, be more honest. Because it's amazing how many people, if you do that too, will open up, even complete strangers. I will talk to anyone, and I could almost get to life-giving conversations just by creating, guess what, time. It all comes together. So the fourth one is being committed to one another. Commitment is a dirty word in our culture today. Commitment. You know, when people make vows for richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. You know, many people, celebrants, don't even use those as part of their vows now. It's actually until they almost modify it to being, as long as you're keeping each other happy. And if you're not making me happy, or you're not meeting my expectations, then I'll handball you and find someone who will. Marriage, and by association, families, is seen as disposable, unfortunately, in our culture today. And kids, unfortunately, are collateral damage. We should be committed to one another, committed to the long haul, committed to see no matter what's going on in our world, we are going to get through this. A lot of research has been done on this. If you're unhappy in your relationship, if you work your way through the unhappiness, the end result is you'll become happier. Couples who are unhappy, who divorce, actually take their unhappiness with them. And they've done lots of blind studies on this. I don't know how you do a blind study, but they did a blind study. And they were just following couples, 10 couples here, 10 couples here, both in that situation. And they found the couples who worked through their problems, strengthened their relations, strengthened everything that was going through, became happier and much more fulfilled. The couples that divorced thinking that was the answer, the solution to their problems, they took everything with them and they never became happy. People don't understand that we don't learn from history. We don't learn from history, but we see time and time again people making the same mistakes. Insanity is what Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's a definition of insanity. So we need to do something a bit different and actually say, hey, we are going to be committed to this. We're going to work through it. And that's why that man said to me, he goes, I heard you on the radio and I said, I'm not going to be a statistic. We're going to work through this. How cool is that? A relationship restored, the kids having mum and dad together. Now, I'm sure in a room this size, there'll be people who have had their separation and gone through their heartache. And I am very, very sorry for that. I am truly sorry. But I'm also saying to other people, don't take each other for granted. Continue to show appreciation. Continue to enjoy time with one another. Have fun together. Do all those type of things because you are committed. In sickness and in health, till death do you part. That's what we should have. Marriage is like that. And your kids are watching. What type of role modeling are you giving to your kids? Because I've never met someone who says to me, you know what I want for my kids? I want them to go through the same heartache and divorce that I went through. That's what I want. No one ever says that. They want to give something a healthy alternative. It's time for us to role model that in our households, to have a family that sticks together. And the final one, the verse is great from Romans. Be devoted to one another and honor and love and honor one another above yourselves, which means I'm serving them. That's what it means to be committed. I'm serving you. I'm taking my authority, my position, and I'm going to see how I can serve you as best I can. That's how we come devoted to one another. How devoted are you? How committed are you? Are you serving those around you? Or are you a consumer? Are you just taking it all about me? What's in it for me? Which is an acronym that all young people do. WIIFM. What's in it for me? We do that. That's what we do intuitively. Even adults do this. What's in it for me? We have to actually say, as Jesus, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. How are you committed to those around you? How are you serving them? Are you devoted to them? Are you committed to them for the long haul? And the final one is dealing with adversity. And you do it together. Marital problems, financial problems, kid problems, the obstacles and the challenges. I went to have dinner with a friend last night and they were sharing with me the challenge that they had one of their family members going through a hard time, and just shared those things. So I'm just listening, and maybe if I can offer some word of advice, but they were sharing that they it strengthened their relationship as a result, because they were dealing with it together as husband and wife for their relative. And I thought, how cool is that? Dealing with adversity. We're all going to have it, as it was shared with them in the prayer. We're all going through stuff, needing to overcome. We need to do it together. There's a verse that says, a friend loves at all times. You and I are friends. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. Brother, family together. We're doing it together. What about, we need to go through. Because sometimes people do things in isolation and it's not good. We do things in community. I love David Attenborough, those nature shows. And you see the animals of prey, they look and they target the smallest, the weakest, and they try and divide them from the pack. And then, like it says in the scriptures, the enemy is here to come and sneak and to devour. They're looking, and the animals are looking for the one who is the weakest, away from community, the way that they don't have any support structures. No one should be left alone. No one should be left alone. So in summary, my homework for you, and I look at the mirror and myself, is am I showing appreciation to my wife and my children? Am I giving enough time with them? And they know they release me to go on these trips, and like I treat them as a short-term mission trip. But when I get home, I am putting as much into the credit card deposit of time that I possibly can, having fun and enjoying each other's, planning a few things ahead. Am I communicating when I'm up or down? What's going on in my world? Am I listening to them, what they're saying? Am I committed to them? Am I serving them to the best of my ability? And finally, when we have our times of difficulty, am I doing this together? Or I'm saying, you're on your own. You're on your own. You're on your own. No one should be on their own. And as I said to you, there'll be people in this room that maybe a few of these maybe hit a little bit of a nerve. Maybe it could be something that you need to work on. And as the worship team comes up, these five things, and by no means they're exhaustive. They're nowhere near exhaustive. But maybe there's something that you could do, just a little bit. And maybe talk about it with, you know, in your small groups or in your families, in your old families or something like that. Am I showing enough appreciation to you? How could I do that? And don't become defensive. Be open and honest and vulnerable and say, hey, I could improve a little bit. Give me a score out of 10. What will it take for me to get from a 7 to go an 8? No one's expecting perfection, but we are perfecting ourselves, because we are imperfect beings living in an imperfect world before a perfect God. And he wants what's best for us more than you could ever imagine or possibly conceive. And then we need to be able to, you know, talk about it. Am I serving you as best I can? And when we go through hard times, do you feel alone or do you feel supported and encouraged? Only you can answer these questions. But I hope and trust that, you know, maybe if I come back in a 12 months time or whatever it is, and I can ask you, has your family improved? Are you closer together as a result of going through these things? And I hope you will be. You might be good now, I would love you to be great. You might be great now, but I want you to be exceptional. You might be exceptional now, and I want you to come and speak about it at other times. All right? Let me pray for you. Father God, I just thank you so much for the families represented. I thank you for each and every one of them. I pray and know that, you know, there are some people going through a hard time, and I wish it was different. I honestly wish it was different. Maybe some decisions they've made, maybe some decisions someone else has made, and it's caused disunity and disharmony and dysfunctional aspects and relationships. But Lord, I pray that you help them navigate that in a much more encouraging way. And Lord, I pray we just reflect upon your goodness and grace in our own lives and how you have helped us. We live in a very dark world. We live in a very, very isolated world at times. But we know that we can do life together in community. Never take this for granted. Never take this opportunity for granted. Never take our families for granted. Never take your love that you've given to us so freely for granted either. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help us achieve, not perfection, but let us achieve our full potential. On this side of eternity, we will never get there, but I pray it's worth the effort. And Lord, I pray just for healing to wounded spirits, for wounded families, wounded relationships. Restore what the enemy has taken. Restore what you never wanted in the first place. And just take away what the enemy has taken. The joy, restore, put joy back into families. Put laughter and fun and appreciation and communication and commitment and restore it. And when we go through the hard times, we know that you will always be there with us. But so will our family. We thank you, Heavenly Lord, for all you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' most wonderful name. God bless you. Amen.
Hey, thanks for that. Thank you. God bless you.